The legal team for Brendan Dassey released an open letter to Governor Evers today asking him to grant executive clemency.
Dassey was 16 when he was first incarcerated in connection with the death of Teresa Halbach. He turned 30 this Saturday, and he isn't eligible for parole on his life sentence until 2048.
Earlier today, I talked to Dassey's lawyer, Laura Nyreiter. She's also co-director of the Center on Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern Pritzker School of Law. I also talked to Jason Flom, host of the podcast Wrongful Conviction, who interviewed Dassey on his show. Laura, you petitioned Governor Evers for executive clemency for Brendan Dassey. Now we have this open letter out today. Can you talk about the importance and the significance of the letter and the people who signed it?
Sure thing. This letter represents an absolute groundswell of support for Brendan Dassey that we are delighted to see. The letter has been signed by more than 250 voices, leading voices from around the country, representing everybody from former senators to formerly incarcerated people who are joining together and asking Governor Evers to grant clemency for Brendan Dassey.
And tell us exactly what you're asking the governor for. We hear words like pardon, clemency, executive clemency. What are you looking for Brendan Dassey?
Sure. We and our supporters are asking Governor Evers to consider either a pardon or a commutation for Brendan Dassey. A pardon would have the effect of immediate release. A commutation could have the effect of immediate release. It simply involves shortening the sentence. So there are two viable options. They're well within Governor Evers' power to grant. And we look forward to working with the governor, to having him speak with members of our team, to having him dive into the record in this case so that he sees that the just and decent thing in this case is to grant executive clemency to Brendan Dassey.
And people may have heard a lot about this case, but in a nutshell, why do you think this kind of clemency or commutation is justified?
Absolutely. Brendan Dassey, as a 16-year-old special education student, was sentenced to life in prison based on a confession that is now almost universally regarded as false. And this open letter includes folks from the highest levels of the United States government to the American Psychological Association to former prosecutors to law enforcement authorities who agree with us that this confession is false and that Brendan deserves to be free. You know, we came within about 12 hours of getting Brendan Dassey out a few years ago after a series of federal judges ruled that his confession was involuntary, coerced, and false. We came within 12 hours before that ruling was blocked by a federal court of appeals that held, among other things, that just because a confession is false doesn't provide a legal requirement that a conviction be overturned. One of the dissenting judges called that a profound miscarriage of justice. This is a classic case in which the court system is not able to deliver the justice that Brendan Dassey deserves. That's why we're turning to Governor Evers to be the fail-safe that the system needs to do justice for Brendan Dassey.
Jason, you got the opportunity to meet with and interview Brendan Dassey. Can you talk about that experience?
Yeah, it was a troubling experience. I mean, even after 25, 26 years of working in this field, I haven't met anyone quite like Brendan. He's a simple person who just wants to go home. I mean, obviously everyone in the system wants to go home, but he doesn't, I get the sense he doesn't fully understand why this is happening, because he doesn't have the type of mental acuity that a person of his age, you know, would have. And in fact, his growth was further stunted by the fact that he's been caught up in this nightmare since he was really a child. He was 16 and he wasn't a fully developed 16-year-old. So it's, you know, it hurts my heart as a parent, as a freedom fighter, and as a human being to see someone who's so vulnerable, who has been so badly taken advantage of by people who should know better.
For people who haven't listened to your podcast before, Jason, can you talk about how Brendan's case compares to some of the others you've featured?
Yes, and thank you for asking. One of the things that's so troubling about Brendan's case is the false confession aspect of it. And the fact is that we know now that false confessions are a significant factor in approximately 25% of all wrongful convictions. And that number is going to be staggering to a lot of people, because almost anyone you meet on the street is going to say, I would never confess to a crime I didn't commit. But you would. But the fact is, every person that I've met in this work has a unique story. Some of them were victims of these type of coercive interrogation techniques. There are seven or eight factors that we see again and again in these stories. But everyone is a human tragedy.
I want to give a listen to the voice of Brendan Dassey. This is from your interview with him, Jason, after you asked him about being interrogated, whether he was scared, what he was thinking in the process. Here's a listen.
Well, I just wanted it all over with, so I said whatever they wanted to hear, you know.
And I want to bring you back in now, Laura. You watched the interrogation, I believe, fairly early in your legal career as you got involved in this case. What did you take away from watching the interrogation of Brendan Dassey?
You're exactly right. You know, when I first saw the interrogation videos of Brendan Dassey, I happened to be a law student. I wasn't a lawyer yet. I was a third-year law student here at Northwestern University in Chicago. And I just had happened to sign up for a class on wrongful convictions taught by Stephen Drizin, who is one of the world's leading legal experts on confessions, interrogations, and false confessions. And he had just agreed to represent Brendan Dassey on appeal. So he handed me the interrogation videos as his students and asked me to go watch these videos. And I took some home. I'll never forget it. I sat down on my couch, and I put these DVDs into my laptop, and I watched these four interrogations over a period of 48 hours, 16-year-old special education student, right, a kid who needed an aide to sit next to him in class so that he could understand what the teacher is saying, who's in the interrogation room completely alone. And my heart broke because I saw a child who is trying to please his interrogators by telling them what he thinks they want to hear. But in so doing, he's trying to confess to a murder that he couldn't describe, right? There's this heartbreaking sequence in the interrogation videos that's become notorious around the world among legal experts and non-lawyers alike, in which the officers who believe, based on their investigation, that Ms. Halbach had been shot in the head, you know, ask Brendan how the murder happened, and Brendan guesses wrongly every way he can think of killing someone, you know, choking, stabbing, throat cutting. At one point, he says hair cutting. The officers are dropping him hints. Come on, Brendan, something with the head, something with the head. And he just can't come up with the fact that she was shot in the head. And he gives up. He says, you know, that's all I can think of. At which point, the officers have to say to him, come on, Brendan, I'm just going to come out and ask you who shot her in the head. At which point Brendan says, well, that was my uncle. And they say to him, Brendan, why didn't you think of that? Why didn't you tell us that? And he says, because I couldn't think of it. You know, I've never before seen someone guessing in such a devastating way that wasn't recognized by the interrogators in the room at the time. And, you know, that's not a confession that anyone should have any faith in. It's a confession that when I watched it changed my life. I came back after graduating from law school and for the last 12 years have been working closely with Steve Drizin, representing individuals who falsely confessed, studying police interrogation, working with some of the leading psychologists around the globe who study interrogation. Some of their names appear on the open letter that was sent to Governor Evers today, and working with lawmakers around the country to reform the system, to learn from these cases, to build a road forward so that there will be fewer false confessions and more reliable confessions in the future. Now it's our task to make sure that road leads back to Brendan Dassey.
I want to listen to Brendan Dassey again. And Jason, this is you asking about his initial legal representation and how it made him feel to not have, in hindsight, great representation in legal defense. Here's a listen.
It made me feel betrayed and that I couldn't really trust lawyers either. But now I can.
Jason, talk about that. You briefly touched on that earlier, the idea of inadequate defense representation in some of these wrongful convictions.
The fact is, there are too many defense attorneys, and I have a lot of respect for attorneys in general and for defense attorneys. I think public defenders is a noble cause. It's not a high-paying job. And just say, but there are a lot of them who don't do anything. Or in Brendan's case, it's even worse because they were almost like adjunct prosecutors. They not only did nothing to help, they deliberately harmed his chances of getting justice and getting acquitted as he should have been. But there are too many cases, including both cases this week. I was in prison in Kansas, visiting a guy named Albert Wilson this week, who was wrongfully convicted. His lawyer called no witnesses. And then I went down to Texas. I was on death row with a guy named Rodney Reed yesterday. And Rodney's case, the same thing. How is that even possible? There were tons of them. If he had just done a rudimentary job, and it's horrible. It should sicken all of us, because for people listening, if you don't think this can happen to you, this can happen to you. And that's a message that I get out there. And I hope that everyone who's listening, when you get that jury duty notice, because you're going to get one at some point, and you're going to be annoyed. I can hear people already sighing. Oh, God, I hate that. But the fact is, when you get that notice, go serve on a jury and understand that what you're being presented with as facts may not be accurate. There may be innocent mistakes. There may be deliberate misconduct. There may be a false confession. There may be eyewitnesses who were either, you know, confused or scared, or, you know, there's a million factors that go on. But we have to do our best. These are our fellow citizens. They're human beings. And everyone is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Brendan Dassey was actually innocent. He was never treated as if he was. He was treated as if he was guilty until proven innocent. And unfortunately, that's the way our system works too often, is that once you get caught up in the system, you're done. And the mistake that Brendan, I mean, I wish I could go back in time and tell him this, but I'm going to tell people who are listening now, if you get picked up and interviewed by an interrogator, don't do it without a lawyer. To just say those words, I want a lawyer.
As we wrap up, Laura, what are you watching for next?
You know, we are watching and waiting and seeing a groundswell of support that's coming not just from around the country, not just from around the globe, but from within Wisconsin, too. We've had over 15,000 people sign a petition to Governor Evers asking him to look at Brendan's case and grant him either a pardon or a commutation, including more than 1,000 people from Wisconsin alone, all across the state, from Superior to La Crosse to Waukesha to Milwaukee to Green Bay to Madison to Manitowoc itself. We are so honored to stand with our neighbors and fellow citizens in the fight, and we look forward to working with Governor Evers, helping him see that the time is right to bring Brendan home.
Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Interviewer.
That's Laura Nyreiter, attorney for Brendan Dassey and co-director of the Center on Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern's Pritzker School of Law, and Jason Flom of the podcast Wrongful Convictions. We talked to them today about an open letter released today urging Governor Evers to grant executive clemency to Brendan Dassey.